You're listening to Dimitri live and dangerously local on the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get Dimitri live and dangerously local, 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM. The Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430 is the audio path of totality and the force multiplier of truth. These great radio stations, 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430. Also, Facebook Live. We're doing a Facebook Live stream of the show. There's not much to see, just some pathetic idiot talking into a microphone, trying to salvage what's left of his broadcasting career, and it ain't pretty. But we do have a great guest for you. Dolph Santorin has joined us again. He, too, is running today in West Virginia, the Republican primary. Full disclosure, he is not a client of Dimitri 2020 LLC, to his everlasting shame, but he's still a nice guy, so we figure, oh, what the hell, throw him a bone. So, Dolph, welcome back to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dimitri. Glad to be here, as always. Thank you.
Great. And you're running for the House of Delegates, the 4th District, which is most of Wheeling, but not the downtown part. Is that right?
Correct. So it's most of Ohio County, but not downtown. Okay. Very excited. It's been a great race. You know, I've got a great, put together, I think, some pretty good creative. But I guess the most important part are the folks who have supported me in this office. I mean, obviously, my quest for this office. Obviously, my family is a big deal. But, you know, the other big thing is, so many people in the community have come out for me, and I am just, I'm tickled. I'm honored, I'm tickled, I'm thrilled, and we're going to see how we did tonight.
Yeah, who's tickling him? Apparently somebody right now. Yeah. So first off, I want to say hi to your lovely wife. How is she doing these days?
She's holding up, and she's doing well. And encouraging me to get out there the whole time, and I will be out and around today. It should be a good day.
Yeah, she wants you out of the house. I mean, you could be very annoying all day with being cooped up with you, so I could see why she would want that. Just get out and do some campaigning. Yeah, that's it. Do some campaign far away from the house. I could see her doing that. I actually could see her doing that. Yeah. So what was it like campaigning?
You'll see us together in a very public spot in Wheeling and doing some campaigning later today.
Oh, really? That's that is great. So when you campaign, like on election day, is that an indicator that you are in trouble, that you're trying to get every last vote? Is that a red flag regarding your campaign?
Just like a runner at a track meet. You know, you run to a point that's 10 yards beyond the finish line. And a political campaign is no different. You go the whole way. You use every possible minute from the beginning until the end. And that's what I'm doing.
That's great.
You know, I have limited time to get the message out. And I need to do that to the best way I can. And that's go hard and go the whole way.
All right. And
exactly what I'll do when I'm in Charleston.
Yeah. So what exactly has this campaign been about? Now that you've got the benefit, pretty much the benefit of 2020 hindsight, from when you first threw your hat in the ring to where we are today, the last day, in fact, that this is the day of voting. What has that ride been like for you?
Well, I'm reminded about how many wonderful people we have and District 4 in my part of the Upper Ohio Valley. But I'm also reminded about how important it is to have someone who brings a different perspective. And Dimitri, you pointed out on more than one occasion that I'm a little bit of a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
But that gives me a skill set to end up looking at problems and solutions from a different standpoint. You know, I am an amateur radio operator. You know, I play with old cars, so I'm actually a fairly decent wrench. You know, I'm a test taker. You know, I've got a building permit. I'm a licensed contractor. You know, I've had three careers, one in the manufacturing business, one in .com. And all of those things together come to finding solutions for District 4, and I can do that. and I can do that for the people, and that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, a lot of people are very concerned about the lack of job prospects here in the Upper Ohio Valley, and with very good reason. Have you tallied the number of jobs that you have created here in the Valley with your different businesses, your different enterprises?
I can tell you right now that there's about, we have about 55, you know, come payroll, you know, which is every other Friday, you know, there's about 55 checks going out today, but there were many more in different businesses. And what's great is I've got 12 people who are C-level executives in some fairly large companies who worked for me at least at some point in time in their career. And by extension, they're creating jobs because they're adding value. And I'd like to think that I had a little teeny bit of influence on their success, which is a really good thing.
Oh, no question about it. Tell me, as an employer, one of the biggest things that I've heard off the record from so many employers, because everybody talks to me and, you know, wants to be a client and all that with Dimitri 2020 LLC. And most of the time I say thanks, but no thanks. You're not really the kind of guy I want to, you know, or business that I want to deal with. But so many of them, off the record, say the same thing. The number one biggest problem is not that they don't have jobs here, openings. The biggest problem is finding qualified people for the jobs that we do have. A lot of people here in the Valley say, well, we don't have enough jobs and all that. And yet, you talk to me, because I talk to the people, you know, like almost daily. And all these business owners, small, medium-sized, large, almost without exception, I mean, there are a few, but almost without exception, say, we've got the jobs. We can't find qualified people who will pass a drug test or who will show up for work and, you know, and even during, you know, deer season. And that's that really is the big problem. Has that been your experience?
My experience has been, if you want the qualified people, you know, the top tier talent is getting in the car and they're driving somewhere else. They're driving to Pittsburgh in the morning. They're driving to Washington in the morning and they're working there. You need to give them a compelling reason to end up staying in Wheeling so that they're working a few miles from their home. Look, nobody wants to spend an hour in a car commuting each way, you know, one way every day, and do that again on the way home, 2 hours. But a lot of people do.
Yep.
Because the lifestyle is superior in Wheeling. And so what we need to do is identify those people and then provide them with a compelling reason to stay in Wheeling. And I think that's key.
And is that a nice way of you saying a lot of employers here don't pay enough?
That's one of the factors.
Why don't you just say it? Why don't you just say it instead of being a typical politician?
Yes.
Just spill
yes,
the beans.
I'm saying they don't pay enough.
Why? Why don't they pay enough? I keep hearing all these complaints about we can't find good qualified people, blah, 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 blah. My eyes glaze over. Why don't these employers pay enough? Starting with Mr. Deep Pockets here, as a matter of fact.
I had a local organization call me. They were looking for a database administrator. I'm pretty plugged into people who are in that field. And they told me what they wanted. And I said, I know a couple of people who live in Wheeling and they commute to Pittsburgh. And one commutes up to Youngstown. But I said, because I had problems with this employer before, I said, before I put you in touch with them, you need to tell me what they're paying, what you're paying. And he threw out a number, and it was half of what these guys are making now in these other markets.
What?
And I said, that's not even close to being, that's not a market rate. And he said, well, they have to understand this is Wheeling. Now, when you get hacked because your database administrators know that it's not going to be from somebody in Wheeling.
Wow. Jeez. But
that's what it comes down to. Yeah, we need to recalibrate it. If you're going to be world-class, you have to pay world-class. It's that simple.
Was that employer Mr. Deep Pockets?
No.
That was my first guess. So what was the guy offering, and what should the pay be? Was he offering $30,000, should be $60,000? Was it $40,000, should be $80,000? I mean, give me an idea here.
The database administrators are a little more expensive. No, he was offering $75,000, and it should be $150,000.
$75,000? To do what now?
Database administrator.
What does that mean? Is that something I could do?
Well, with about
that
15
funny.
Years of experience, Dimitri, maybe.
I'll take that as a no. In 15 years, I'm not going to be around. Jeez. 75,000 is too low. Holy cow. My God. Jeez.
These are the people who end up keeping things like your bank account secure. So, yeah, you're going to need good quality talent because you know what? There's a hacker somewhere out there anywhere in the world who's going to be attacking that bank or attacking that database.
Yeah.
And you need that's why you need top tier people. I mean, that's why cybersecurity people are well compensated, because not only do they have to be good at what they do, they have to stay current. So you're constantly learning because the field changes every year, and it changes dynamically and it changes quickly.
Let me ask you this. I found this in dealing with an awful lot of people here in the Valley. Something as basic as a person who can design and oversee a basic website, someone who really knows what he or she is doing regarding just a website. No incredible bells and whistles, just your basic Dimitri's Hot Dog Stand website. Have everything current, have all the lettering done right, all the spelling, all the this, click every click actually works, that sort of a thing. Is that a webmaster, is that what it's called, or a web mistress?
Sure.
Okay.
There's two different places. Large agencies tend to break it into two different pieces.
Yeah.
So you've got somebody who does the logic piece of it, and then you've got somebody who does the creative piece. All right? And then you've got a webmaster who basically runs over both of those and takes care of both of those. One of the biggest problems is, the folks who are doing the pretty pictures are not making nearly the money of the people who are doing the database side of it, because, most websites are at least data enabled to some degree.
All right. The ones around here, generally speaking, again, talking with an awful lot of business owners, they're so frustrated because they can't find anyone good to put together a website that actually works, that works for iPhones and Androids and everything else, as well as laptops and all that, and that is just basic competence. Why is that?
Because they don't need to be in New York or Pittsburgh or Columbus or Cleveland to do that work. They can do that work anywhere. And if you're not paying what they would pay in New York, Pittsburgh, Columbus, or Cleveland for that work, you're not going to get anybody. Or you're going to get somebody who's green, and then you're going to train them, which is great. And then if you don't accelerate their wages quickly enough, they're going to leave. And guess where they're going to go? They're going to go where the money is.
Yeah. And what is
talent is always attracted to money.
Yeah, except in my case. So how much are we talking about here? If I wanted to create my own website, something, and I need a competent person who could put it all together and make sure that all the clicks work and all the spelling is right and everything, just basic competence. What am I looking at here to pay? Is it an hourly rate? It's an annual rate? What am I looking at?
You know what? I haven't looked at that. I haven't looked at that in a while. But I can tell you that across our enterprises, right now, I mean, a dishwasher in a restaurant is a $30,000 a year position.
I think I'm in the wrong business again. All right.
That's what it takes. And it only goes up from there.
My God.
And, it depends on what you want. It depends on what you want. I think, I'm of the belief that I want talent. But, $30,000 a year is $15 an hour. Guess what? Sheets pays $15 an hour for a convenience store.
Wow. I'm definitely in the wrong business. Hey, tell you what, I got a short break here, and then I want to talk with you more about the campaign, about the election, about the issues. Live exclusive interview with Dolph Santorin. Full disclosure, he is not a Dimitri 2020 client. However, he is an advertiser on this radio station. He's a nice guy, so I figured, what the hell, don't have any guests lined up, so I might as well reach out to him. And that's pretty much what we're doing here. All right, stay tuned. More coming up in just a bit.